response.
Is your business struggling to be seen, not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
Aronimink Golf Club hosts the second major of the golf season.
Sit back on your heels, turn through the abdomen.
This is a PGA Championship Week edition of Dirt and Spray.
Ah, nice.
With Andy Dirt Johnson.
Don't you think your negativity's a little premature?
And Brandon Sprague.
Please, just shut up!
What's with the hostility, man?
PGA Championship Week on The Fan is brought to you by Langdon Farms Golf Club. There's no better course in the Northwest for year-round golf. Book your tee time at langdonfarms.com. Dirt and Sprague on 105.1 FM and 1080 AM. The Fan.
Hey, welcome back in. Hour number three, Dirt and Sprague here, Portland sports leader. 105.1 FM, The Fan, 1080 AM, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube. Good morning, everybody. Happy Thursday to you. Hope your mornings are off to a good start. We got a lot to get to here in this hour of radio. I have something that will probably never change in the NFL, but one group continues to voice their support for it, and I'll tell you what that is and why they're doing it. We'll get to that. Maybe a couple NBA nuggies, although there is no game in the NBA playoffs tonight. One listener did ask earlier, Dirt, do you really need a game in the NBA playoffs tonight? But I understand the argument. Like, I'm just going to watch more hockey. I'll be okay. My fandom will survive.
Yeah.
I just prefer the standalone games instead of the doubleheaders. Like having the T-Wolves and Spurs play tonight at 5, and then the Cavs and the Pistons play game 6 tomorrow at 5.
You don't like having a doubleheader?
I'm not opposed to a I just prefer the standalone game. It's easier for me to watch one game at my stage of life than it is to sit for 4 hours of NBA basketball, which is certainly not going to happen. So it's just, like, you know, turn it on the second half, kid goes to sleep, I can watch the entire thing. It's just easier in that way.
The good news about NBA playoff basketball in the second round with teams you don't care about or think are going to win the title, you can miss the first quarter.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't have largely to be missing the entire hour. First half. There's, yeah, I mean, you know, I'm checking scores. Where are we? Okay, they're up by 7. Okay,
I think a lot of people are doing what you do, and I think the TV ratings are more just saying the TV's on. But I don't know.
The TV is on. It's on the entire time.
Truly sitting down and watching from start to finish both games. I don't know what that percentage is.
Fair
man.
Point. I like the standalone games, but there will be two in the NBA tomorrow. We have a lot to get to. I'm going to start with something in the NFL here in a moment. But whenever you bring up this topic, people will chime in, and I understand it is a very hot button issue here locally right now. We haven't spent a ton of time on it because I think, to your point, and we largely agree on this, of like the conversation's not really changing. It's kind of playing out how we all thought it would play out.
It's just yelling more.
Are they going to vote for it? Are they not going to? Like, there's just not a lot of new information, I guess, in that regard.
We also have a few months.
Yes. Like, it's not, it doesn't have to be approved by Friday afternoon. Yeah. Like, tomorrow at 2, if you don't do it, the Blazers are going to leave.
Yeah.
But just wanted to read a couple thoughts on this because I appreciate all opinions that come in. And somebody said, I'm a huge fan, but I'd rather fund schools, roads, and bridges. We need to tell billionaires to pound sand. And I certainly understand that. And then on the other side of it, we got, where did this go? The biggest difference is the arena is ours, not his. This is a landlord-tenant type deal. Mm-hmm. We want him to sign the lease. He needs us to improve the facility. No different than any other landlord and tenant deal. It's just bigger, simply.
Yeah.
Thoughts coming in on the city council. They have shown time and time again that they are stupid as...
Yep.
Look at their body of work. Like, you get a lot of those thoughts that come in.
They're easily pulling the worst of everything politically here.
Without a doubt, dude. Like, I don't care what side of the aisle you're on. You probably hate the city council members and all that. I guess what I would say, and then we can, you know, share a couple more thoughts and we'll move on from it. But I understand the idea on roads and bridges and schools. I agree largely with that sentiment. We're not spending money right now, tax dollar-wise, on the Moda Center. How are our roads, bridges, and schools? Well, we are fixing our bridges. I'll give them credit for that.
Our schools are some of the bottom in the country.
Right. I got potholes all over the place that don't ever seemingly get filled. And so that's like, I agree with the overall sentiment. I also think it's important to look on the alternative side of that opinion and ask yourself, what does it do to the economy, to the city morale, and the general area if that disaster scenario were to play out? What would happen to the surrounding area of the Moda Center?
Well, you're San Diego left? With Qualcomm.
Yeah. You have an aging arena that still is going to need a facelift. Are you going to tear it down? No.
I mean, yeah.
The WNBA team's going to play it. Like, it just...
Well, they're not going
to... You have to think about the alternative aspects to what that ultimately ends up meaning for the city. And so it's a very tricky topic. I get it.
It's an odd time right now because I don't know how I saw this, but I stumbled across... Where was it? I forget where it was, but Wong, the NVIDIA guy.
Jensen Huang.
Yeah. He did like a Q&A thing, and he was asked about California's tax code, because they're doing the tax code thing on billionaire stuff. Mm-hmm. And I find, just from a societal standpoint, a very interesting thing right now where Jensen Huang basically talks about how he went to Stanford and him and his wife love California. They chose California. And he goes, I have no problem paying taxes. He goes, I get the bill at the end. It's a pretty big bill, and I pay it. I want America to be a good country. It's so few and far between with those guys. Like, you get Warren Buffett's, you should be taxing us more. We're literally ripping you guys off. I gladly pay my taxes. And then you get Bezos. You get Howard Schultz.
Right.
Business here is, you're treating us terrible. I'm moving to Nashville. I'm moving to Florida. And, like, I'm not telling you politicians should be doing videos where they're mocking billionaires and really rubbing their noses in it, but I also find it odd, like, oh, you're not business friendly enough. I think there's elements of truth to that in our city, absolutely.
It's going on up north right now, too. Everybody's debating. Howard Schultz is taking Starbucks out of Washington.
Certainly there are things you should be having conversations about. I also find the defense of multi-billionaire people it's odd behavior to me. It's odd duck behavior.
Yeah.
You are in no way ever in your life going to sniff that lifestyle, ever. But because you make $115,000 a year, you somehow relate to the business owner that's a multi-billionaire instead of being realistic about, yo, dude, you made $20 billion. Yep. Maybe you should pay $4 billion and be, hey, I have $16 billion here. So I just, it's a weird time. We need to be more friendly to businesses. I certainly agree with that. I appreciate people who are uber rich that are like, yeah, it's $5 billion. It's $6 billion. I'll pay it. And then there's the other side of the coin that's like, I'm going to move to a state who's never going to charge me a thing. And people then in the comments like, yeah, look at you. You're too woke. You're like, yeah, dude, they're rich. We should be taxing these people more. Why is this a hot take?
Yeah.
Is that a hot take?
Yeah, it is. You're right in terms of the complicated nature of the times. It's just somebody texted in about, the city budget twice of what Boston says. Schools and roads aren't better because local politicians don't want them to be, and people passing things, city council members to tax and bills and all this.
Well,
and they
tax
don't
is
use
a
the
big
extra
issue
money.
Right now with the voters here.
It's a massive issue,
it's
man.
The biggest issue.
I certainly understand all of that. I guess ultimately my hope resides in the fact of, like, this is not some like pet project, let's put a tent up for a homeless person. It's not in that category. I think there's significant pressure coming from people at the state level and obviously the mayor, mm-hmm. who understand the ramifications of this not passing. Who understand that, like, you're like, this is
especially in the middle of a city that has,
like,
lost a little bit of its reputation of what it is.
This is not an off the radar, like, we want bridges over a river for otters to be like it's not something unique Portland like that. They're like, why are we spending our money on this?
A lot of cities are doing this.
This is the idea of the professional sports team in the market staying, and I think it will end anybody who does not vote for it. And I'd have to go back, and maybe you know the answer. I don't remember what happened to all the Seattle politicians when this transpired. The Bennett situation, though, was drastically different. He owned the building in Oklahoma City. Like, it's completely apples to oranges.
Yeah.
But I don't remember if there was serious, significant political fallout for the people who allowed it to happen. That's the part of it, though, that I go back to in the back of my mind. This isn't passing some tax hike to pay for, homeless shelters. This is the NBA team in the city would leave, and you were outside then of the political bubble of people who aren't following politics of, like, wait, you didn't vote for the funding? Mm-hmm. It would end all of their political careers in my mind. And that's where I come back to. I'm not defending the Portland City Council and the actions that they've had. I think they're incredibly incompetent. But I also think that the powers that be understand the ramifications here, and that's a powerful thing.
Yeah.
And the mayor is completely on board. I was reading an article in the Willamette Week the other day about how he's trying to pull some funding potentially from some they already have resources for this, environmental stuff that's been passed, and he can pull $100 million maybe out of that. And so the mayor is all about this and trying to get creative in ways to keep everybody happy, and, like, we just got to meet our number, and then we meet our number and we get a lease agreement. So.
Yeah, I was reading about Washington. The Wizards are doing this in downtown D.C.
They need a stadium, and the Commies need a new stadium, too.
Well, they're doing a stadium renovation for the Wizards.
Okay, just a renovation. Okay.
They're doing an $800 million renovation. I'm trying to find out if Ted Leonis is putting any of his money into it, because I know it's also tax-backed.
Yeah.
And that's an area that's a little similar to us in some
going
ways.
On in Utah, too. Utah's
well, they
doing
have to have
million,
their... their budget for the district approved by Congress.
By Congress, yeah. Right. That's a unique
situation.
They got
another step in the...
Yes, yeah, have fun with that one right now.
I guess I'm talking more politically like us.
Yeah.
Utah.
Yeah. Different.
A little different, right?
Right to that. Yep.
But I'm more just looking for comps that are similar to us. And look, I'm no different than anybody else. I got two kids. They're in school. I'm not one that wants to sit here and just say this is all one specific sector's fault. It's not. But I also just like, it's such a weird time where we don't want to pay taxes, but we want everything improved. Where's that money going to come from? I think it's such an odd dynamic to live in.
It's got to come from somewhere. And then I think the counter argument is, well, you need to use it in better ways. And that's where, in reality, both sides are right.
Yes, 100%.
We're spending a lot of money in taxes. Things should be theoretically better. We are taxed more than, you know, almost anybody in the union.
What did they find out that, like, I think we're only second to New York, right?
Yeah.
So, like, what did they find out? The art tax, right? That came out, and that was controversial when it happened.
Yeah. Keep sending you bills, man.
But then it comes out, and they're like, we actually had like $3 million in that. And like,
then what are you?
Where's it going?
I
thought we were paying to keep things
the arts
going. Extra money? What are you doing?
Right. We have a surplus here. Let's do more art then. Yeah. Do I get an art tax kickback? Is that a thing? The next year? What do I get my, what is it, $45 a person or whatever it is? So I get my money back?
I don't know. Well, and I know business owners that like, they've told me stories of they got to pay for all these permits and there's these fees, right? And they do that. And then what happens, and it's not cheap, and then what happens 10 months later?
Yeah.
Hey, we actually overcharged you for this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What?
Huh?
What? That was a lot of money, dude.
Yeah.
Like, there's going to be more accountability in it.
I agree completely with that. We're not going to spend a ton of time on it because, again, there's a long runway here. I understand that there ultimately will become a sense of urgency. And if the story evolves and changes and you get quotes or people, adamantly saying, no, I won't vote for it. Right now, the latest, step I read was that they're trying to get them to sign NDAs to have the conversations and the debates internally be discreet, which is like, let's not.
I bet those conversations are fun.
Yeah. Like, I'm going to break your fingers unless you vote for this.
It's like when Chappelle had the skit where he made Lady sign an NDA because he prematurely would end.
Right.
Relationships
and
ended
fast, yes.
So he didn't want any ladies spilling the beans because he was like a famous person. You remember that skit?
I do remember.
That's what they're doing right now in City Hall.
Sign yourself an NDA. Let's get this thing over. So we'll see where it goes from here. We'll update it obviously as the story evolves. But I'm not going to spend a ton of time yelling about this day in and day out and where our tax dollars should go. It's better purposes of our time,
like
the idea of
bring it.
How much attention or credit? Credit's not the right word.
Mm.
Attention, maybe. How stock? That's the word I'm looking for.
I love stock.
How much stock do you put in the idea of opponent win-loss percentage from a year ago impacting the difficulty of your schedule the following season?
Like, how much stock do I put in, like, liking it be that way?
Like,
or like that it actually bears
like,
out?
Like, you believe in, like, ooh, because their opponent winning percentage was X last year, they have a difficult schedule or an easy schedule, and I believe in that.
I've talked to you about this for years. I think one of the dumber things we do in football, like, there's a lot of smart people. A
lot of smart people.
A lot of dumb people. Football is a complicated game, and if a lot of us didn't play at a very high level, there's nuance to it that we'll never understand.
You haven't been there. You don't know.
Right. But I think one of the dumbest things that all of the smart people and all of the dumb people partake in is strength of schedule conversations.
So
you have no utter clue.
No clue.
Who's going to be good? We all looked at all the teams that had the Commanders not in their division but on the schedule.
Yeah, so that's a tough game.
Oh. Tough game, week 8. You got Commanders.
5-12.
How'd you feel about that by week 8?
Not great. I mean, you felt great. We'll play the Commies anytime.
There's 6 new NFL playoff teams on average every year. What are we doing? Why do we do this? I don't know why we do this. We can count on certain organizations, sure.
Sure.
But in football, nothing's a certainty. So I put no stock in strength of schedule stuff from 1 year going into the next.
Out of the curiosity, I'm. It's fun to look back at last year's standings and think about, at this point a year ago, who would we have said was an easy game or an easy opponent and who we would have said was a hard opponent? Commies, great point. Commies at this point last year were like, NFC title game, good luck. You got to go to D.C. at the end of the year. It's gonna be a bloodbath.
You think the Patriots are not going to be
Patriots,
as good.
Prime example of that. I'm trying to think of how many others that we had, though, that were genuinely surprises. Jacksonville winning 13 games, probably one.
That was a big surprise.
Like, right, you wouldn't have said if Jacksonville was on the schedule at this point last
year. Especially if they were on the road. Maybe at home, you're like, okay,
you
got to travel.
Good and bad point?
For either way, yeah.
Baltimore.
Baltimore's a great one. Baltimore was below 500 this year. We thought they would be a contender.
The Chiefs were terrible.
Chiefs ended up being bad. What about the Broncos? What do we think about the Broncos? Because they were a playoff team 2 years ago. They ended up being better and exceeding expectations from a win-loss standpoint.
I'm curious if you, I don't know if anybody's done this, if you took the projected records based on the Vegas win over-under win totals. Mm-hmm. And then
how it comped.
And then how it comped.
Yeah, who ended up.
Because the Giants, I mean, everybody says the Giants with Harbaugh and some of the additions and what they've done.
They've become one of those teams, yeah.
They should be a much more tougher test than they were based on last year's record.
They were 4-13 last year, one of the worst teams in the NFL.
This is kind of me like getting away from Denver a little bit because I have a question for you.
Okay.
How many teams right now in your mind are you labeling in May are true Super Bowl contenders?
Ooh, fun game to play.
And this is a fun game to play.
Fun game to play.
Because how many are you going to be right on, and how many are you going to say, playoff team, but not a Super
Bowl
contender?
And obviously the biggest mystery is the overall health of the team throughout a 17 game.
Yeah, you got it. And that's obviously the outlier.
So if you throw that out.
Like Baltimore, if they have Lamar for the majority of the season, I think the season goes differently.
Let's play this game.
You can say the same for the Commies.
I have it right here. We'll have an understanding of how the season played out versus the expectation. The over-under number of 11.5 wins last year was the Ravens.
Did not hit.
Nope.
Bills.
Did hit.
I don't think they won 12 games.
They did. They went 12-5.
12-5. Okay, so it hit. Chiefs.
No.
Chiefs did not.
Eagles.
Eagles went 11. They were 11.5 was the over-under?
11.5.
They went 11-6.
Oh, okay.
So only one hit on the over-under of that number. Yep. 10.5. The Lions?
Lions won 9.
Packers?
Packers won 9.
And the Niners hit.
Niners did hit. They won 12.
So one of the three. 9.5. Bengals?
Did not.
No.
They won 6.
Broncos?
Broncos crushed it. 14.
Texans?
Texans did. They won 12.
Chargers?
Chargers did.
Yes.
Rams did.
Chargers won 11. Rams, Rams did.
Buccaneers?
Buccaneers.
I think they went 9. 8 or 9.
8 and 9.
Yeah.
So they hit the under.
And then Commanders.
And the Commies did not.
What was the Seahawks over-under?
The Seahawks over-under last year was 8.5.
That's why the Pats and Seahawks Super Bowl was so unique, because their odds,
I think, from an odds standpoint, it's some of the longest we've ever had in NFL history.
So one team doing it is one thing. Both conferences having it happen is wild.
I'm not saying what last year's was is what this year's is going to be. I think you have some favorites that get to the numbers.
And it's not like teams who didn't hit the over suck. Like some of those teams, it was 11.5 and you won 11 games.
But like 8.5 last year was Bears.
Over.
Pats.
Over.
Steelers.
Over.
Seahawks.
Over.
And then the other two you had in that conversation were Cardinals, Vikings. And I think, didn't the Vikings, how many did they win?
Vikings won 9.
So the only one in the group was the Cardinals that didn't hit the 8.5 number.
The Cardinals had an 8.5 over-under last year?
Yeah.
Why don't we bet our life savings on the under on that? Maybe that's revisionist history, but
my whole point is to simply say, whoever you think is a Super Bowl contender, that's fine.
Sure.
I just, as a sports fan, I don't put a lot of stock. I don't look at schedules and shake in my boots. The division's different. You know your division opponents a little more, or at least you feel like you do.
NFC West is a good comp of this. Like the Niners, they might not be a contender to truly win a title, but they're competitive. The Rams, we certainly know. The Seahawks just won the Super Bowl. Yeah. The Cardinals are terrible.
Exactly.
It's going to be a tough division.
If you know your division, you can feel a little more confident. But when you go outside of the division, I'm never one that puts a lot of eggs in that basket. Never have been.
Well, in a roundabout way, let me tell you, the 5 easiest schedules in the NFL next year.
You know what? Let me write these down, and I'm
write
not going to delete
file
them off
these
the show
away.
Sheet.
Okay, put them on your show sheet.
5 easiest
According
schedules.
To ESPN's Insight Analytics, whatever crap, they're nerds. Here's what they say. 5 easiest schedules.
Okay.
Browns, number one easiest.
I'm sure that's going to go well.
Saints, number two easiest.
Oh, okay.
Bengals, number three easiest. Hmm. Falcons, do the dirty bird.
Ah, Stefanski.
Number four easy. And the Colts, number 5 easy.
All right.
So those are your 5 easiest.
Those five teams should thrive and make the playoffs.
They should all win 10 games. The 5 hardest, the other side of it.
Oh, okay. Hold on.
According to the ESPN analytics, they tell you, are the team we spent a lot of time talking about today, the Chicago Bears, you're going to have a hard time. You got the hardest schedule in the NFL. Good luck. The Miami Dolphins, which, I mean, they're going
to Dolphins get a hard schedule.
They're going to suck either way. The Arizona Cardinals. Ooh.
Some of this has to do with your opponents and your division's winning percentage from the year
also
prior.
Also, the crossover division that you get, because not every, like, if you're playing the NFC South, it's like, oh, okay.
But if you play the AFC West.
But if you play the AFC West, it's a little more challenging. I gave you the Cardinals Packers' fourth hardest schedule, according to ESPN. And last but not least, the Kansas City Chiefs. Those are your five hardest schedules in the NFL.
Packers, Bears being on that, you have Lions and Vikings in your division. Good luck.
Yes, the division's challenging. Chiefs, same thing in the AFC West, because it's challenging. There is an event coming that is going to highlight one issue in a league. Will the players ever win out in this argument? We'll dive into that coming up next. 105.1 FM The Fan.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We'll get to the Magic Hat coming up top of the hour. A little peekaboo into the PGA Championship in a bit. As the old douchers having another rough day. The old doucher might be 0-for-2 and making cuts at major championships this year. So we'll get to an update on the scoreboard. Also, something really funny happening this morning that I don't know if I've ever seen at a major championship.
It's got to have happened.
Had to have happened.
But we have audio on it, and I sent it to Swag. So.
We'll get to that coming up. Magic Hat top of the hour. We got some good audio in the Magic Hat today. Very excited for that.
One's going to throw you off.
Ooh.
But I got a backstory to it.
Okay. I like that. It's a good little tease. There's something coming in the sports world, and it's been in the news for mainly bad reasons lately, although a restriction was lifted yesterday that might allow more tickets to be sold. Where is the World Cup at on our radar, sports radar? Is it showing up yet? Excitement levels? Is it kicking it at all, or is it out of sight, out of mind?
I may have said this when you were out the one day when you got sick.
Couldn't care less.
I could not care less. I will not be actively putting it on my television, even in the middle of the day when I'm not working. I will only be seeing it if it's on television in our studios.
What will be going on sports-wise? The NBA, will the NBA be wrapped up by the time the World Cup starts?
Yeah.
It will be?
I mean, you're...
It could be down
not to... Not like preliminary matches. Game, but yeah,
game
the games
six,
we care
game
about.
Seven of the NBA
okay,
Finals.
Okay, but not a ton of overlap.
You'll have the
there.
NBA draft.
You know what will be going on? My backyard renovation. I will be doing that with my hands. I just everything about this...
Got to get the dirt in your fingers.
Dude,
it feels good, dude.
We need to be reconnecting with our yards.
I don't use
point.
Gloves when I do yard work for that reason.
I use gloves.
You got like to feel the dirt?
I like to feel the dirt.
I like feeling dirt, but like most of the time dealing with thorns or mulch. I want gloves.
Yeah, give me splinters, baby. Makes me feel like a man.
I'm out on that. There's nothing more annoying than getting the splinter that you cannot get out of your finger.
I'm just kidding. I don't do mulch.
Now, that being said, I find the way...
You sound like a Wisconsin accent there for a second? That was pretty good. I couldn't tell where that one was coming from.
Thanks. I've been working on it. Yeah. I did that on purpose.
You're 1/8 Wisconsinite. Sorry. Sorry. I didn't mean it. I shouldn't. That's an inside joke. I might derail the show.
That is a way too inside a joke that we cannot talk about on the air.
No.
I find it all just reprehensible and disgusting.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you.
The amount of money, what we just did to like five countries for the most obvious reasons, but they're citing a different reason of like, pay us a $15,000 bond. Oh, wait, none of you are coming over. We'll lift it.
Nobody's renting hotels or buying tickets to these games.
Nobody's buying tickets. Like these tickets, it's going to look like these are full stadiums. I'm at this point all in on the idea that these are going to be plants. Because who in this world economy is affording $10,000 tickets to
it's
these
insane.
Things? It is nuts.
I have one friend who, super into soccer, and they wanted to go to this. They ended up buying into one of the hospitality packages a long time ago for Seattle.
Okay.
How much?
I don't know.
How much would you guess?
I mean, are they well off?
They do fine, but they're not loaded.
Not loaded, yeah.
Is that like Lake Oswego?
No, they have
only two Porsches. Fine.
No.
Yeah. Okay.
No.
It's not to that level.
No lake house.
No.
Yeah. They only spent a month at the coast.
I just the prices of this is
it's
nuts.
Ridiculous.
But the
it's,
travel, the hotels are telling
so
you. Nobody's
I don't know
renting
if it got. I don't know if it got to five figures for him. But I know it's four figures.
Four figures to me is just like,
yeah. Well, $1,500 is different than $9,700. Yeah, like there's a gap there. But I
know that they get to do that because the United States is playing at least one game in Seattle.
Yep.
And they get a knockout round. I can't remember if it's a quarterfinal or a round of 16 or something. But okay. So it was four or five games.
Okay. So, if you're getting four or five games out of it and guaranteed a USA game, like, I see why somebody would want to drop that kind of coin. This isn't even really meant to be a World Cup segment. It's more so, like, it's on the horizon, and there's a group that is paying attention to what's happening and now going to use this as an argument. I'm not that excited about it. I'm not the biggest soccer guy. I think the international or the country pride stuff eventually kicks in. Like, Team USA is playing a game. I'm going to watch, and you'll root. And if they go on a run, that'll be fun and, you know, maybe captivate the country a little bit more. I tend to be a World Cup guy of, like, the second Team USA's out. It's like, all right. Maybe watch the final. I'm not going to watch a bunch of other World Cup stuff, right? It's just not my cup of tea. It's not my jam. What is my jam?
Premier League's better.
A hill that I will die on forever. Yeah. Is that football's better on natural grass. And the teams and the stadiums that go from natural grass to turf, it's an abomination, and we should fire all of them and mandate natural grass. You know who's paying attention to this right now?
Messi?
The NFL Players Association is paying attention to this because what do they have to do in every single stadium?
A football segment
where the only thing that I really care about is natural grass football.
That's why we don't get international games here
at Providence Park.
They have to bring in turf to put on top. They got to do it up at Lumen Field.
At every field that the World Cup is being played at, they have to bring in natural grass. You cannot play on turf. The soccer players won't do it, and they boycott it. So the NFL Players Association is now taking note of this and saying, hey, wait a minute. We have been advocating for years that we want natural grass playing surfaces. We don't want to play on turf. Mm-hmm. You're clearly showing that you have the ability to bring in and pay for natural grass inside your stadiums, whether it's turf or not.
Right.
And it's becoming this debate. Like one of the J.C. Treader, who I think is the head of the Players Association now, or one of the guys who's high up on the list. But he's doing interviews advocating this of like, this is going to be a hill that we die on. Now, I don't know if they ever will because it's led to the debate of, and Albert Breer, I thought, had a great point on this of, like, stadium costs have exploded to the point. He brought up, so NRG, the stadium in Houston, was built in 2002, which at the time was one of the nicest stadiums in football.
Right.
You know how much it cost to build that stadium in 2002?
Oh, that's a good question. I'm going to guess.
$650, $700
million.
$352 million.
Wow.
Lucas Oil opened in 2008, $732 million.
Yeah.
MetLife opened in 2010, $1.6 billion. And now where are we at of like $5 billion, $6 billion? I mean, just insane. Like the cost of a franchise.
SoFi needs to be taken out of it because they also built like a whole bunch of headquarters for the NFL.
Sure. But the point that Breer simply makes is that these things are now so expensive to build, you have to have events year-round, and you have to have turf in order
to have
events.
You'd be better served to have grass.
Because it's easier. No, you're saying basically to have concerts at your venues, it's easier to have turf than deal with grass. So that's why they put it in.
The stadium in Vegas, don't they have the turf slides out, and then you have something underneath for other
events? They have the ability to do it.
There's soccer stadiums in Europe where they can lower the grass field.
Yes. How have we not reached the point of being able to do that?
Because we're cheap. We want to be balling in every other area that doesn't matter.
And it's the funniest thing to me.
It really is that simple.
Because I think there's actual scientific data to point out the player safety aspect of it, like the injuries that occur on turf. The players feel safer. Their bodies feel healthier after games. Like, they advocate for this. And so
the rubber pellets are terrible.
It's one of the things that I'm just curious. Like, I'm not that into the World Cup. It'll be interesting to see these stadiums with natural grass and then watching the players react as they rip the natural grass off to go kill your bodies playing on turf because we don't care about you, but God forbid Messi plays a soccer game on turf.
Well, the players use, I wonder how that fits into an 18 game schedule proposal.
Like, is this one of the hills you're willing to die on as a player?
Well, no, they'll never back down. They'll always give in, but I think it'd be...
Can they leverage the NFL wanting an 18 game schedule to mandate natural grass? We'll go, but you'll put natural grass in immediately everywhere.
You think they're willing to do that?
Now, what do you do with the Superdome?
Why can't you?
I don't know.
You have to wheel it in, I guess. Yeah.
Oh, tough. Your life's so hard. You're making billions of dollars every year. Oh, what was you?
That's just the only one I think of because it's an older, like, a lot of the domes now have, like, natural light that comes in or opening, like, the ability to open a roof. The Superdome is super old.
Yeah.
It is super old.
So that's the only one that I would think would have a tough problem.
Or do the players jump on this as the mechanism to keep the NFL owners from going to an 18-game schedule?
Mm-hmm. Oh, you think this is a bigger deal than their contract structures and their guaranteed
money? I think this is close. What do you think is easier for players to argue over, guaranteed money or grass fields?
Guaranteed money.
You think so?
Yeah, because if you're playing an extra game, there needs to be revisions to how you guarantee money.
Yeah.
I think the other thing, too, like with grass in general, remember when USC went to Notre Dame years ago with Reggie Bush?
And they grew the grass out to slow them down.
Yeah, hot take.
Colts and Pats used to do that all the time.
Maybe we should be growing this grass to about everybody's ankles, and maybe people can't run as fast and hit as hard.
We just got a physical team that has no speed, and we're going to grow that thing 6 inches thick.
Speed. Yeah. Offensive linemen should not be running 4.8 40s. It should not be allowed. D linemen are running 5.1 40s at 380 pounds.
You may be right that it's more important about the guaranteed salaries and all
that.
They're
always going to care about the money more.
I think as a bargaining leverage tactic.
To get them to do something.
This is easier, and this may win them more public sentiment and put more pressure on owners. Like, you want the 18th game and all of this money, and you're not willing. Like, they can start releasing some of these studies and all of this other stuff out to the public to put pressure on the owners. You really want an 18 game, you know, sort of thing, that sort of stuff.
Which is the hypocrisy of the ability to do it for an event like the World Cup and then turn around and not do it for the players that you pay and employ is the irony that I love.
Well, the question is,
these aren't your guys. This is your roster. You're not paying this quarterback $58 million a year. Don't you want to play on a surface that's safer
for
him?
Who's actually paying for the grass?
That I don't know. It's a good question. It might be the World Cup.
Obviously, if the team, you know, if an NFL team is doing it, plus you're talking about you have it in for a month and playing soccer versus 5 months every other week. I mean, we saw what happened to the Heinz Field. I mean, there's complaints about that all the time because
they also
loan
it out to
high school and college games.
Pitt Panthers play there.
You know, you just you jumped on my argument there. I don't know if you meant to do that, but
what?
My argument of this is why you dome it up. You take care of your quarterback. You care about his health with the grass. You care about his arm and the cold.
Give me sunlight and natural grass, okay? It's healthier.
Give me the fake sun
the
on
college
natural
ones,
grass.
I'm actually more offended by, like, historic colleges doing this. Like, Notre Dame, Michigan, Ohio State are three primary examples of, like, you – it was, well, you can't do it in cold weather. The Green Bay Packers have grass on their field at Lambeau. It's the dumbest argument
it's about
of all time.
Saving money, dude.
And they had grass on their fields in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and Columbus, Ohio for generations. And then they decided to save money.
Yeah.
And we don't want to pay a ground screw. And we just got turf. And we'll replace it every however many years.
Imagine if golf courses start pivoting to turf.
For easier access.
Just like to make it all financially.
Don't need lawnmowers anymore, dude.
Don't need water anymore if we're going to give it all data centers, do we?
Our overhead just got cut by 65%. We're living large.
Final note on this, because I love that you did a football thing here.
I don't really care that much about the World Cup. I just saw the Players Association releasing statements on this of like, dude, what the hell, man?
I've become a big Premier League guy. Yeah. I have a team. I root for the Timbers to do well. Soccer's never been our sport. This idea and pretending that we care about Team USA men's soccer as if it's ever going to do anything, I don't get it. And then I get to watch Brazil win again? Right. Is Messi going to win his
Germany
second World
France,
Cup?
Yeah.
Germany. Like, that with the absolute greed, the secondary ticket market scandal with FIFA. That guy is corrupt. He looks like a Bond villain, Infantino.
Yep.
Nothing could turn me off more from a sporting event than what the World Cup in America's has done. And I know our team sucks, so it's hard for me to really get in on it.
Tend to agree with you. We'll give you an update on what's going on at Aronimink PGA Championship underway. Also, an impossible question to answer, but we'll ask it nonetheless. That's next on The Fam.
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
All right, Magic Hack coming up top of the hour. Getting our audio in, getting our submissions ready, writing them down.
Holy catfish!
It's almost hat time, everybody. Almost hat time. Couple of things here for this segment. I'll give you a quick brief update on what's going on at the old PGA Championship, which is underway at Aronimink Golf Club just outside of Philadelphia.
Where's our guy Bryce?
Let's check, see where our guy Bryce is at. We might have to scroll down a little bit. Yeah. He was 5 over through 13 the last I looked.
That's what I saw it last.
Let me see. All right, my leaderboard, I should have pulled that up beforehand. Our guy, he's 8 over. 8 over through 16 holes. Yeah.
Probably not going to make a cut.
Do we have a we got a birdie in there, though.
Hey,
birdie
right.
to the 17th hole,
hey,
par three, shot 40 on the front.
All right.
5 over 40 on the front, and he was cruising along. He had parred, so he started on the back nine. He parred 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, which is the first six holes of technically his back nine, and then he just dropped a triple bogey on number 7. So he had it going for a while. They're hanging around 5 over and then a triple bogey, but still nonetheless, he got a birdie in a PGA Championship. That's pretty damn cool, man.
Okay.
Let's see here. Outside of that, I think the probably biggest takeaway early on, I love a good early Thursday major championship take. Two takeaways for me. I'm curious what you think. Nice little leaderboard jamming up. Like, nobody's running away with it. Steven Yeager, I think, at one point got to 5 under. Now he's back to 3. So anybody who's even par, you're only 2-3 shots off the lead, you're doing fine. Decent names in that 1-under, 2-under mix.
Yeah.
Oberg, Brooks, Spieth is 2-unders, Schauffele. So you got some decent-sized names there. That's one takeaway. And then the other side of the spectrum is the old doucher who appears to maybe not be making another cut at a major. He is 4 over. He shot 39 on his front and is not playing very good golf right now. 0 birdies on the card for him through his first 11 holes of the tournament.
Yeah, I don't know if he's going to come back to the tour. I would lean that he probably does, but he's toying with this, I'll just do YouTube golf and then show up at the major championships thing. And if that's the direction he goes, I ask sincerely, when do we just stop talking about him as a topic unless he's in, like, the top 5? Like,
yeah,
you pointing out that he blows up and he's not performing very well, and he did that at Augusta in a big way.
Cameras are all over him still, though. Everywhere he goes, they're showing his shots.
Was like second or third best odds to win the Masters going into mm-hmm. it. He didn't make the cut.
Same here this week.
Jordan Spieth right now is tied for 4th with Xander Schauffele. Now, I don't know who Yeager, D. Brown, and Cauley are, but, dude, that's
D. Brown from the dunk contest from the Boston Celtics back in the day? That D. Brown?
No look wedge.
No look.
Bud Cauley and Steven Yeager. Steven Yeager has not won but 2 sub-60 rounds in PGA
Tour. We got a Yeager bomb about to happen here?
We could have a Yeager bomb.
Yeah.
You never know.
I think he shot a 58 in a Corn Ferry Tour one time.
I'm happy for Yeager. Yeagermeister there, but
Yeager bombs.
Spieth being top 5 with Xander Schauffele is a pretty cool. good top, and this isn't a criticism of you, but like, I just wonder if Bryson doesn't jump back on the tour and this is all we see him and he doesn't perform, when does he not even get mentioned? When does he fall
I
back?
I don't know if it'll ever get to that point. I would hope if it continues, if the trend continues, that the coverage lessens a little bit. Like, I feel like Rahm's kind of had this happen to him. Rahm has not played great at the majors in a while.
They haven't shown him as
You're
much as they've shown DeChambeau.
Bryson's all over the place.
And
dude,
they're still showing him. He's bogey.
Yes. Every time he's making a shot, he's on ESPN because I think they understand the captivating nature of him, probably more so than Rahm. It's an interesting question in theory of how long does it take to actually kind of dwindle the coverage and just, you know, look, guys are going to have bad events. He might get hot tomorrow and make the cut, and you never know what's going to happen with Bryson. He's off to a terrible start right now. It's just he's such an interesting character for the reasons of we don't know where he's playing. We don't know where he's going. The idea of him, you know, 3D printing a 5-iron, he's captivating. I don't like him, but he's definitely captivating. I will give him that.
Right.
He's not playing well, so they're underway at Aronimink. We'll keep you up to date here in the final hour of the show. Rory, by the way, just got it in neutral. I think he's hard his first 7 or 8 holes, but again, the leader's only at 3-under, so that's not too shabby. Not a ton of time here, but I did want to ask this question because we've had this debate off the air a couple of times, and I will grant, before I even ask the question, impossible to answer. So just take that with a grain of salt.
Okay.
But it's still fun to kind of predict the future on how we think this is going to go. So Adam Silver continues to go on this, you know, national media tour and tout teams aren't going to be incentivized to lose anymore.
That's 3-2-1 now,
We have a new lottery system. Nobody's going to be rewarded for losing. 3-2-1. And he seems to be thinking that this will fix the problems. Now, that's not necessarily the debate I want to have. I want to connect it more locally. I find the idea in the question of what does this do for us and our future in terms of assets? Is it a positive? Is it a negative? Is it a net neutral? A fascinating one. Because when this was first announced, a lot of people, I remember Portland getting brought up of like, oh, those Milwaukee picks don't mean as much anymore. They're going to tank. They'd have a better chance of number one pick. The value of those picks is going to go down on the open market. And then you hear the counter argument to that of, well, no, now you might have, Milwaukee might have the eighth worst record in the NBA, and they have a better chance of getting the number one overall pick than they did before. And so it'll be beneficial to Portland. Of how that plays out in terms of future draft capital is fascinating to me, because nobody can answer the question. We don't know how this system is actually going to look and what the unintended consequences will be, but it will impact Portland one way or the other, whether you trade the picks now or not, in terms of the value that they will have on the open market.
So I'm just not one that believes holding on longer is beneficial to you. When we talk about the Thunder and the Spurs, a lot of people do it in 5 to 10 year increments. Oh, what are we going to be for a decade with this? Oh, my God. Nice shot, Rami.
You hold out.
Yeah, you just hold out. People talk about the Spurs and the Thunder this way. Oh, the next decade, we're screwed. And it's fun to joke about it, but I view the league in 2 to 3 year increments at most. I have no idea who's going to stay healthy. I have no idea who's going to keep being great and who might regress and all of that, right? Like, the landscape of the league changes so quickly, where 5 years ago, we thought the Denver Nuggets were the next dynasty. Then here come the Boston Celtics. They're the next dynasty.
Bucks, same thing with Giannis, man. When they won, it's like, oh, here they come.
I mean, it's been that way. And I know Oklahoma City is certainly geared differently than even those teams. But I look at it in 2-3 year windows. I don't look at it in a 10 year window. Those buck swaps are what? They're 29, they're 30.
Let me look
right?
at the
Aren't
years.
We talking about 29, 30?
I believe it's 29 30. And 30,
is
I believe so.
One of them?
It might be.
Okay, so when you look those up, you let me know what years they are. Because here's the thing about the Bucks. It appears they're going to trade Giannis. Now, who's going to jump in? I don't know, man. They hired a pretty good coach, at least a coach people have respect for in Taylor Jenkins.
Right.
We did this, and it's slightly different. We just did this with the Suns. Ha ha! You're a joke. You made stupid moves. And
they made the playoffs.
Finished with a better record than us in their season.
Yeah, we beat them in the play-in game, but they won. Yeah, they were the 8 seed. They made the playoffs. Yeah.
So I think the idea that you think or know the Bucks are going to suck for 4 years, 3 years, you don't. You don't know how the East is going to shake out. Is Atlanta really going to take the next step?
No idea.
Charlotte has never in our lifetime been that. Maybe they are now. Maybe they got serious. They got Miller. They've got Knipple. And the Melo played well. I don't know. The Pistons are clearly in a conundrum if they lose to the Cavs, because they're good. But how do they take the next step? Who do they get? Who do they trade? How does that impact the locker room? Like,
right.
All of these things are such moving parts. Are the Knicks going to continue to have good production from OG Anunoby, who's hurt? Mikal Bridges feels broken, but it hasn't mattered. Jalen Brunson's a 6'2", 6'3 guard. Do they stay healthy forever? Towns, kind of a clown. Like, we just talk about these things as if it's all certainty and in cement in 5 years. What if the Bucks are good in 2 years?
Very well could be. What if they get Jalen Brown out of the deal and that's the trade that ends up happening?
I think you got to be really careful banking on the fact that, one, you know for certain that the pick swaps are going to age like gold. And two, you know the Bucks are definitely going to be one of the bottom 10 worst teams right. in the league for X amount of years. You just don't. It's not NFL-like, but it's not certainly that far behind. In the span of 2 seasons, all of this can change.
Here are the, by the way, so next year you have your own first-round pick, 27.
Yep.
28, you have your own or a swap with Milwaukee.
So there's the first swap.
And you have Orlando's first-round pick.
Okay.
So you have two in 2028.
That's
2029,
great.
You have the most favorable and least favorable between us, Boston, and Milwaukee. So does that make sense? So whoever, the highest pick and the lowest pick, you don't get the middle one. You get the highest one and the lowest one.
Got you.
Between
yeah.
us, Milwaukee, and Boston.
Boston.
That's
okay.
2029. So you have two first-round picks that year.
And it's 2026, so we're already, there we go.
Yep.
We're looking at
And then in
years.
2030, it's your first-round pick or a swap with Milwaukee, and then you're back to normal.
If you honestly think you know and you're going to be right on what Milwaukee is in 2030, hats off to you, man. Hold on to that pick swap.
Yeah.
But you don't. So I'm just always going to be somebody that doesn't want to hold on to those forever, unless I know you're openly tanking the way the Wizards were. And
sure.
guess what's not going to happen anymore? I don't think teams are going to openly bottom out the way that we just saw historically this year.
Just an interesting question for the future. Nobody knows how it will go, but it does impact the Portland Trailblazers because they got those assets there.
Magic also, Denny's under contract for 2 more seasons.
Yes, he is.
So, like, what are we waiting for here?
Cheap deal. Go make it happen. We got the Magic Hat to start the final hour, and we'll go there next. 105.1 FM The Fam.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. Beginning, middle, or end of the year, it's always a great time to take control of your financial life. And the Jill on Money podcast is here to help. Your questions make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and, more importantly, on your life. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.